Good evening, brethren. It has been a marvelous 2 days of convention so far, hasn't it? Many blessings. I would like to start off briefly so I don't forget. If I don't get to testify, I want to bring you some love. I bring you love from our Seattle class, over half of which are here, but the ones that remain did want their love sent to you. With special love to you all from my sister, Sister Lori Flynn, and my mother, who many of you know, Sister Beverly Christensen, who is now living at the BSRC. And those of us who know that that stands for the Bible Student Rejoicing Center. And I was also been commissioned to bring you the love of John and Billy Bellia from Fort Worth. And also I bring you the love of Brother Agrippino Polistico from the Philippines. And through him, all the brethren in the Philippines. And I just got an email 2 days ago, I guess it was Friday, from Brother Agrippino, and I didn't realize this. This July 22nd, which is what, 3 days from now, I guess, 4 days, is their 7th year anniversary of having Bible students in the Philippines, and they're quite excited about that. So I believe that's Wednesday, the 22nd, and you might all remember them in prayer. They are, like so many brethren around the world, they have their experiences, and they have good spirit and good trust and faith in the Lord, and they do love you, even though they don't know you, and sometimes, like us, they have trials too, and the Lord gets them through, but they wanted their love sent to you. Vesper service. You know, the origin of the Vesper service can be traced back as far as the second century. It had various names through the years, but it was always an evening office. It became a formality or a rule in the 6th century because of a book entitled The Rule of Saint Benedict. And Saint Benedict simply called it Vespera, which means evening star. And this name eventually became accepted, and as we know, it is now called Vespers virtually everywhere. The evening office, or Vespers, has always been associated with light. Another widely used name during the time of Saint Benedict was Lucernalis, which means lamp. And long before Saint Benedict wrote his book, the evening office included the lighting of many candles and torches, and reading some of the Psalms was also a part of this service. We, of course, are not bound by the rules and formality of Saint Benedict, but we often enjoy the evening office of Vespers in our own way. We don't light candles or torches, but we can relax and be refreshed by devotional readings and hymns. Hopefully these things help us recharge our batteries, so to speak, so that we will be more and more able to let our lights shine in the world, which is so covered in darkness at this time. And although traditionally Psalm 16 was not one of the psalms read in the evening office, we would like to consider it with you this evening, and especially Psalm 16:11. And we'd like to sing a hymn for you now entitled simply Psalm 16. And this was arranged by Sister Sandra Bierman.
No abortion. Psalm 16 from the Tanakh version. Protect me, O God, for I seek refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, my benefactor. There is none above you. As to the holy and mighty ones that are in the land, my whole desire concerning them is that those who espouse another god may have many sorrows. I will have no part of their bloody libations. Their names will not pass my lips. The Lord is my allotted share and portion. You control my fate. Delightful country has fallen to my lot. Lovely indeed is my estate. I bless the Lord who has guided me. My conscience admonishes me at night. I am ever mindful of the Lord's presence. He is at my right hand. I shall never be shaken. So my heart rejoices. My whole being exults, and my body rests secure. For you will not abandon me to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You will teach me the path of life. In your presence is perfect joy. Delights are ever in your right hand. We would now like to sing reprint 1931, Fullness of Joy, which is based on Psalm 16:11.
Excerpts from reprint 1948, The Christian's Joy. Selected text, Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. When we consider how much is said in the Scriptures about joy and rejoicing among God's people, we are deeply impressed with the thought that our Heavenly Father is very solicitous for the happiness of His children, even in the present life. The worldly-minded cannot see this. They look upon the lot of God's children as a hard and joyless one, and upon God as a hard master, without concern for the happiness of His children. This, however, is only because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual-minded have meat to eat that the world knows not of, and their hearts rejoice, and their joy no man taketh from them. How strange it seems, says the world. Why, there was Paul, a man of great talent and opportunity, who might have been somebody in the world. He wasted his talents, was a poor man all his days, homeless, friendless, knocked about and persecuted, a sort of religious fanatic. But Paul, viewing the matter from the standpoint of his spiritual discernment, said, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. 2 Corinthians 7:4. For he was one of that anointed body who, like his Lord and head, could say, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Acts 2:25-26. So the psalmist bids all the anointed body rejoice, saying, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 33:1. And Isaiah, speaking for the same class, says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Isaiah 61:10. This blessed joy, which so wonderfully lifts the soul above all the vicissitudes of the present life, is as the prophet expresses it, joy in the Lord, not a joy in earthly possessions or earthly hopes or ambitions. These earthly things are also transitory and so changeable that a single blast of adversity may sweep them all from us. But not so is it with those whose hearts are centered in God and to whom He has shown the path of life. These have learned to estimate the things of this present life according to their true values. They see that all of its joys are both transient and unsatisfactory, and that the only real value in it is in the opportunities it affords for the experience and discipline and education in the things of God, and for hearing the call of God and making our calling and election sure. In thus making the proper use of the present life, walking in the path of life, which God shows us through His Word, we have the present joys of hope and faith in the things unseen, but sure and eternal, knowing also that by and by in the immediate presence of God, we shall have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at His right hand, the chief place of favor. But while the fullness of joy in its widest sense is reserved for that blessed time when we shall be like the Lord and see Him as He is, 1 John 3:1-2, and be in His presence and at His right hand in His chief favor, there is a fullness of joy in the presence and favor of God, which is the privilege of every Christian now. Our capacity for joy now is not what it will be by and by, but it is possible now to have our little earthen vessels as full as they can hold of the joy of the Lord. And day by day, it is our privilege to realize the presence and favor of God. If, by walking in the path of life, the path of obedience and loving service, we draw near to God. If a man love me, said our Lord Jesus, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. In such company as this, can any Christian fail to utterly realize some measure of joy in the Lord? No. If his faith grasps the promise and holds it, the realization of joy in the Lord is sure to follow, and the more firmly his faith lays hold upon the promise, the more he will realize its fulfillment, and the more fully will his joys abound. For in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, no matter what may be the conditions and circumstances. In the blessed realization of this experience and the assurance of faith which it gave in the midst of all his labors, Paul exclaimed, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:33-39. It was this strong persuasion, this confident faith of the apostle that gave him such joy in the midst of all his tribulations. His faith lay hold upon the promises of God with a strong and steady grasp, and love and gratitude impelled him to prompt obedience to the will of God and ardent zeal in his service. And evidently the Lord's promise was fulfilled to him in the abiding presence of Father and Son with him at all times and under all circumstances. This blessed privilege is ours also, if by faith we enter fully into the Lord's will and favor. It is indeed the will of God that all his children should be happy in him, that they should always be rejoicing, and if anyone lacks this blessing, he is living below his privileges. Beloved, let us not be contented to live beneath our privileges. Let us appreciate the favor of God to the extent of seeking for it more and more diligently, remembering the exhortation, "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." All the riches of divine favor are ours if in faith and humility we claim them and place ourselves in position to receive them as directed through the Word of God. Ask and receive, that your joy may be full, and your joy can no man take from you, so long as you abide in him who is our life, our joy, our rest, our hope. End quote. Brethren, how privileged we are to have been called of God. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence is perfect joy." And what a blessing we've been called to. And we would now like to close with a hymn that was composed and arranged by Brother Greg and Sister Donna Mathewson from the Chicago area, and it is entitled, "A Call to Blessing."
You have called me to You have called.